I want to suggest to you this morning that we're a lot like Legos. We're a lot like Legos. How are we like Legos? Well, some of you may be looking at me and thinking, yeah, square, you're square. Of course, I'm reminded of a song back in the 80s by Huey Lewis and the News. I know my dad remembers that group well. It's hip to be square, so I'll be square. But that's not the association I wanted to make with you. Well, we come in different shapes and sizes and colors. Is that the way we're like Legos? Well, that's a true statement, but that's not what I wanted to emphasize. The Lego principle is that we were made for connection. We were made for connection. Now, I used to love Legos. And the Legos that I used to play with were the blocks, the squares and the rectangles and sometimes flat pieces that would form the base. You go out into Walmart and you look for a Lego set, you're going to get all sorts of designs, but that's not the Legos that I'm familiar with. I'm familiar with these blocks that you would fit together. It's an upgrade from the wooden blocks that perhaps we also played with growing up. But these were made to connect. You could build things. You could build walls and houses and fortresses. But Legos remind us that we too were created to be connected. That's the way God created us. Genesis 2:18, God looked upon His creation and He said, and everything is good except for this one thing. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable to him. But that connection, that need for relationship, companionship, is not limited to the marriage relationship. It's a part of our makeup, each and every one of us, to one degree or another, that God created us for connection. We were created to be, number one, connected to God, to find that connection, but also to be connected to one another. And life works better when you're connected. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly or easily broken. Work is more successful when it's shared. Life is safer when you have someone to pick you up or defend you. Life is more enjoyable when you have others with which to share it. Connection make life better. Connections make life better. And the truth of the word is that God wants you to be connected to Him and to His family, the church. That's how much God values this idea of connection. He wants you to be connected to Him and connected to His family, the church. Acts chapter 2 is an example. Peter and the apostles fulfilling the great commission to tell others about the good news of Jesus. And so on that day of Pentecost, when thousands of Jews from all over the world have come to Jerusalem, here is the time that God has foretold. And now they're preaching Jesus. And the audience there, many of them are convicted by the word that Jesus, whom they had crucified, God had made both Lord and Christ. And they were cut to the heart, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts 2:38. And about 3,000 accepted, received His word, and were baptized. And they were added to them, added to the church, added to the disciples, the followers of Jesus. The last verse in Acts chapter 2, we find those early Christians praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Do you see that? When they obeyed the gospel, when their sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus and had that connection with God, He also, at the same moment, said, "You're also connected to all of my people. You're connected to your fellow Christians." That's God's will. That's God's design. And the New Testament is filled with hundreds of verses instructing God's people on how to live in relationship with one another. Do a concordance study sometime of the one another passages, and you'll find hundreds of instructions about how we're to treat one another within this context of being connected in God's family. In the passage that Jonathan read for us, Ephesians 2, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners," and he's talking to Gentiles who've been on the outside looking in under the old covenant, but now he's saying, "You're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So yes, he adds us to his family, but here Paul also uses the idea of Christians being brought together in the body of Christ, but also describing it as being built up as a holy temple in which God can dwell. It's like we're human Legos. We're connected, and God wants us to be connected, to build up a holy temple for Him to inhabit. So we were made to be connected. Connected with God and connected with others. I want to ask you, if you will, to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I want to read a passage with you and then point out the value, the importance of connections within the family of God. Paul is concluding his letter to the Christians in Colossae, and I want to pick up the reading and read with you, beginning with verse 7. Beginning with verse 7. There's going to be some names here that I may abuse in their pronunciation, but I hope it'll be okay. Verse 7 of Colossians chapter 4. "Tychicus, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and Nymphas or Nympha, and the church that is in his," it may be her, "house." I believe that's a feminine term there. Verse 16, "When this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." Now, that's maybe a curious text to choose this morning. It's the closing of a letter from Paul to these Christians in Colossae. And we've read through a bunch of names here. Names which are hard to pronounce. Names concerning people that we may not know a whole lot about. But yet they're very important to Paul, aren't they? because he has a relationship. He is connected to them. And some of them are sending greetings to these Christians. And so, wouldn't you want the Apostle Paul to mention you by name? What an honor, what a compliment. But in this text, in this conclusion of this letter, I want us to see the importance of connections. The importance of these connections that Paul had with these people that remind us of the importance of the connection that we have within God's family. Number one, connections are the measure of true wealth. They're the measure of true wealth. You remember where Paul is when he's writing Colossians? It's one of the prison epistles. He's writing from prison. But yet, he's able to write about themes like joy and rejoicing. And he's thankful for the people in his life. And I suggest to you, based upon this reading and so many others in the letters of Paul, that he is so thankful for the connections that he has, because it's those relationships within God's family that mean so much to him, especially in the circumstances in which he is when he writes this letter. Paul mentions over 100 people by name in his New Testament writings. In Romans 16, for example, there are 26 people listed. In this passage that we just read, there are 10 individuals that he mentions. Paul was not a lone ranger. He was a member of a team, part of a family, the family of God. And so he takes the time, makes the effort to acknowledge some of these people that are so important to him, thanking God for the connection that he has with them. What a wonderful thing for us to remember that one of the greatest blessings that we have as followers of Jesus is not only are we connected with God, but we're connected with one another. And many times in our lives we realize that truth, that it's those connections that make us truly wealthy. Number two, connections provide support. Connections provide support. Paul was a great networker. He had so many supportive friends and partners throughout the world. And as I mentioned, he's in prison here. And so he had special needs. And he had those that would respond to him and help him. Take Tychicus as one example. Verse 7 again. Notice how Paul describes his friend and brother Tychicus. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort or encourage your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. As Paul's friend, Tychicus had been asked to carry the mail. He was Paul's FedEx man. He was his messenger, not only to send messages from Paul, but to let the people know, the Christians in Colossae know, how Paul was doing. They were concerned about him. But another mission for Tychicus was that Paul wanted him to encourage, to comfort these Christians. And do you notice those descriptions? He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant. You see the connectedness that Paul is talking about? And it reminds us of the connectedness that we have within the family of God. We all need encouragement, don't we? And that encouragement can come through that connectedness within God's family. Thirdly, connections strengthen you. Connections strengthen you. Most of Paul's close connections were found by serving together, by him serving together with other people, going on these missionary journeys, even sharing prison cells. Most of his relationships were nurtured in the crucible of ministry partnerships. Even so, our closest friends, the Christians, our church family members with whom we really have a strong relationship, many times those relationships are formed and deepened when we're going through difficult times. Do you hear Paul? He's going through a difficult time. And what's on his mind? It's the people in his life. It's the people that have blessed him, have been a blessing to him, and have suffered together with him. Look at Aristarchus here, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. Now, you do a little search about Aristarchus, you'll find that he risked his life during a riot in Ephesus. He sailed with Paul to Rome and therefore suffered in that shipwreck along with Paul. And now we find him, a fellow prisoner, with Paul. Commentators are not sure if Aristarchus was an actual prisoner charged with a crime, or if he voluntarily shared Paul's captivity. According to Roman law, a respectable prisoner was allowed two slaves to serve as his personal attendants. Some are wondering, did Aristarchus fill that role for Paul? And what would that mean? It would mean that he voluntarily became a prisoner so that he could help his brother Paul. It's those kind of faithful friendships and those connections within God's family that support us and they strengthen us in difficult times. I love this one. Number 4, connections provide partnerships in prayer. This may be my favorite part of the text. Consider Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Jesus, greets you. Notice, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. What did this man do? He labored fervently for you in prayers. That's a neat phrase there. NIV translates it, he is always wrestling in prayer for you. It's a word that we get the word agonize from. He is wrestling for you in prayer. He is agonizing in prayer. That's how fervent, how intense his prayers are for you. That's another blessing of being connected within the family of God, that we have folks who will pray with us and who will pray for us, who will even wrestle in prayer, who will agonize in prayer, knowing the depth of their struggle, that they feel that struggle with us and are going to God with that same intensity and fervency, praying for God's blessing. And what a wonderful blessing it is to be connected in the family of God with people who will pray for you like that. Who'll stay awake at night praying for you. Who may wake up during the night and their first thought is praying for you. I know that there are people in this assembly that do that. What a blessing. Number 5, connections come in many different kinds. This is the wonderful thing about the family of God. Included among Paul's friends that he lists here are a doctor and a runaway slave. That's quite a contrast, isn't it? The runaway slave is Onesimus. He mentions him. He doesn't mention that he's been a runaway slave. He just mentions him as a brother, a beloved brother. But you read the book of Philemon and you get the story about Onesimus, a runaway slave from Philemon. And Paul is writing to Philemon to receive him back, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. On the other hand, there's Luke, the beloved physician, as Paul describes in verse 14. Luke, the well-educated, highly trained doctor, the careful and exact historian that wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. But Luke, this beloved physician that would often accompany Paul and no doubt took care of him. Do you think Paul was just miraculously healed from being beaten with stripes? Or did Luke tend to his needs as his body healed itself? 2 Timothy was probably Paul's last letter. He mentions Demas. A sad note in Paul's writing there. The Demas forsook me, having loved this present world. Here's Paul in prison, and he's writing his last letter. And when he thinks of Demas, Demas left me. He loved the world more than he loved Christ. But then the very next verse, he writes these words: only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. How do you think the Apostle Paul felt about Luke, who stayed with him, who hung in there? Paul is in prison. He doesn't know if the next day he's going to be executed or what's going to happen. But who is there with him? Right there beside him. It's Luke. How many Lukes do you have? How many Lukes do you have within this church family? Those who have been there. Those who have agonized in prayer for you. And those for whom you have agonized in prayer. There are others mentioned here, like Nympha, woman in whose home the church met. There's Demas. There's Archippus, who was faltering in his commitment to the Lord. There is Mark. There's another interesting study. Mark, who accompanied Paul on his first missionary journey, but left. Perhaps he grew homesick. Perhaps he didn't like this persecution stuff. But he left. You remember later, cousin Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them as when they went to revisit these places, but Paul said no. So Barnabas took cousin Mark. And Paul and Silas also went, continued the work, both sides. But that's Mark, whom Paul mentions, by the way, who would also, for whom also Paul would send in his last letter, 2 Timothy. Send Mark to me. Do you see the connections? It's all about connections. And it reminds us that of the Lego principle, that we were made for connections. We were created that way. To find that saving connection with God through His Son Jesus. At the same moment, finding that connection within the family of God. There's an effort being made currently at Creekwood. It's called Creekwood Connect. I just borrowed the term that's already been coined. It's an effort to help unify the Lord's family that meets here. And Creekwood Connect, there are groups being formed. This is completely voluntary, but everyone is encouraged to participate. The groups will be composed of 4 to 6 people from various walks of life. Remember, we're all different colors and shapes of Legos, but we're made to be connected. And each group will meet together for at least once a month, and the group will be responsible for choosing their activity. I'm kind of looking for some watermelon. I don't know about you, but a watermelon gathering would be great. But sign-up sheets have been placed at the Welcome Center and in each classroom. Please sign up to participate. Appreciate Rachel Lunsford and others for heading this up. And Ricky wrote about it in last week's article last week. Creekwood Connect. It's really underscoring the importance of connections within God's family. Because the fact is, we need each other. Because we can't make it on our own. And the bond that unites us is not just the love that we share within God's family. We are blood related. We're blood related. And that blood is the precious blood of Jesus. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. Again, the context is Paul writing to Gentiles who become Christians. And he says to them, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. He himself is our peace, who has made both one, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. We were created for connections. We were created to find that connection with our Creator. But then we messed up. And sin broke that connection. But that connection can be remade with God through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that washes away our sins, that reconciles us to God, but also places us within God's family, where we are also connected by that precious blood. Perhaps you're ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're ready to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for you. You're ready, having turned from sin, and you're turning to follow Jesus. You're ready to be baptized into Christ, so that just like we read in Acts chapter 2, their sins, they are told, you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins will be forgiven, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be added to the family of God. If you're ready to do that, if you're ready to establish that connection with God and with God's family, we hope and pray that you'll do that this morning. Some of you may desire the prayers of the church, that you need the church to wrestle with you in prayer for something that's going on in your life. Again, that's one of God's great blessings, of this connection that we have within God's family. If you need the prayers of the church, if you need to come back home, if you have some special need for us to pray for, please let that be known. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?